The church say amen.
Amen.
Church say amen again.
Amen.
And one more time for the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We greet you in the matchless name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. And we count it joy to be in the house of the Lord one more time. We thank the Lord for the effectual fervency of prayer. And we thank the Lord for the songs of Zion, which we believe are inhabited by the God we serve. He inhabits the praises of Israel. And so we thank the Lord today for all that he has done and is doing. I invite you to stand now and turn to your feet and turn with me to the Gospel of St. Luke. The Gospel of St. Luke. I want to begin reading at verse number 25 of chapter 2, the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 2, starting at verse number 25. Say amen when you've located the text. The Bible reads as follows, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he, Simeon, took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.' And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, 'Behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed.' Now there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem." Here ends the reading of God's divine and eternal word. May it edify, may it sanctify God's people. Would that you pray with me on the title of this sermon today, Waiting on Jesus. Waiting on Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, pray that your words would not return void, but that they may accomplish the words written, the word spoken, and the word given will accomplish that which you've intended for it to accomplish. May hearts be illumined, may hearts be encouraged, God. Help someone to know trouble does not last always. May minds be illuminated. Help someone to know something more about you and your word before they came, more than what they came in here with. And Lord, ultimately, I pray that souls would be convicted, that someone will surrender their lives, submit their wills unto yours, and accept the free gift of everlasting life through Jesus' blood, death, and resurrection. This is our prayer, Father. Holy Spirit, let your anointing fall fresh in this place. And we, God, will be careful to give you glory, praise, and honor in Jesus' sweet name. Let the saints of God, the redeemed of the Lord, say together, amen and amen. God bless you and God keep you as our prayer, saints. May be seated. ushers, you too may take your seat. I want to talk today about what it means to wait on the Lord. What it means to wait for the movement of God. What it means to allow God's active presence in our lives lead us to patience and long-suffering and temperance while God is doing what God is doing. It is often said that the only way you will know a prophecy is fulfilled is when a prophecy is fulfilled. Amen. And so there is an interesting dynamic between the economy of heaven and the economy of earth. Waiting on earth is not the same as waiting in heaven. Amen, somebody. I see you out there, Reverend Williams. God bless you. And we thank the Lord for the fact that we are called to cultivate a spirit of waiting on the Lord. Isaiah 40:31 says, those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. The Bible is replete with statements about what it means to wait on the Lord. If I were to run down to you just the book of Psalms, you can look at Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The psalm writer ends chapter 27, number of Psalms, by saying, verse 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 37 says, verse 34, wait for the Lord and keep his way, and the Lord will make a way for you. Psalm 25 talks to us about waiting on the Lord. And Psalm 40 says, I was patiently waiting on the Lord. I just quoted to you Isaiah 40. Chapter 40, verse 31. Hebrews chapter 6 says, after so waiting patiently on the Lord, there are Old Testament and New Testament scriptures that are replete with the biblical admonition to wait on God. And yet, I am convinced that many of us find it difficult to learn how to wait for the movement of God in our lives. And that might be something in the natural realm, something that's going on with your family, something that's going on in your marriage, something that's going on in your body, a sickness that may have overtaken you, or something going on your job, or something going on in your church, or something going on elsewhere and anywhere. The fact of the matter is, the Bible challenges us to wait on the economy of heaven, the calculus of God's ordained Kairos time. And that does not always neatly and congruently fit with man's time, Chronos time, chronology. And so God's ways are not our ways, and God's thoughts are not our thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so too are the ways and the thoughts of God above man. I am convinced that if we are going to truly be anchored in the Lord, it is ours to determine how we are going to wait on God and to allow God to have God's way in any and all of our situations, not just the ones we want to hear him with, but in everything of our lives. What does it mean to wait on God? And that's difficult. I know that there have been families in this church that have had death in their families that are inexplicable. The death is inexplicable. It does not make sense. And yet, what does it mean to wait on God? Some of you have gone to your jobs after 10, 15, 20 years, have worked hard on that job, have given your boss all that you can give, the job, your commitment, the totality of your being, and yet you have never gotten the promotion you deserve. What does it mean to wait on God? There are sisters out there who've been praying for a life partner, a husband who is God-fearing, a husband who can love them, and yet you have not found that man yet. What does it mean to wait on God? Brothers who are praying for sisters to come into their lives, who can work with them and walk with them so they can be the man God has called them to be, and yet she has not yet appeared. What does it mean to wait on God? There are those that have had cancer in your body. After living a life that has been as full and complete as you possibly can. Now, God, I'm 60, I'm 70, and you're diagnosing me with prostate cancer, which is the reality for some of the brothers in this church right now. What does it mean to wait on God? And I challenge all of us. David said, I would have lost heart in the land of the living had I not seen, I would have lost heart had I not seen the Lord in the land of the living. I've determined now that I've seen God and I know what God can do and I know who He is and I've watched Him perform miracles in my life. I am convinced that in my waiting that the same God that made a way yesterday is the same God that'll make a way today. What does it mean to wait on God? And so, beloved, as we draw near unto our Advent season, the season in which we anticipate and expect the presence, the advent of the baby Jesus, there is a word in this text in the Gospel of St. Luke that gives us a statement about what it means to wait on God. In point of fact, it is right there in the text, verse number 25, Luke chapter 2. The Bible introduces us to a man by the name of Simeon, and the Bible says that Simeon was a just and a devout man. But the end of verse 25 says he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And I love that text, that Simeon was waiting. He was waiting for something. He was waiting for somebody. And in like manner, if you jump over it later into the text, in verse 36 and 37 and 38, we're introduced to a woman who is of elderly years, a woman by the name of Anna. And what we know about Anna is found in verse 36. It says that Anna was a prophetess, number one, the daughter of Phanuel, number two, and number three, she was of great age. She was 84 years, amen, a widow, and she had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And if you add all of that up, it is clear that Anna was well into her 80s, maybe into her 90s, if not older than that. And so what we know about Anna is that she was an elderly woman, and just to see that ripe age of 80 plus years, she's been waiting on the Lord. Come on, somebody. For our grandmothers and our grandfathers who have lived into their 60s and their 70s and to their 80s and into their 90s, and there's some in this church like Mother Williams who've lived into 95, 96 years old. They know something about waiting on the Lord. And so Anna, the prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, Simeon, the just and the devout man, give us both lessons about what it means to wait on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I can just go ahead and extrapolate what is the ultimate point, both Simeon and Anna was waiting on somebody. For you see, Simeon, it says in verse number 25 and 26, 25 was waiting on the consolation of Israel. Now, the consolation. The word consolation literally means peace, to console somebody, is to bring comfort to them. And so the word consolation then is a statement that he is looking for the peace of Israel, the comfort of Israel. For in Israel at his day, there was a much going on socially and politically. For Rome had overtaken and governed this little small strip of land along the eastern shore, the eastern shore of the Mediterranean Sea. It was under Roman control, but there were also Jewish sects that were fighting and competing for dominance in Israel. Essenes versus Herodians versus Pharisees versus Sadducees. And so each thought they had a monopoly on the Mosaic law. There was much confusion, and all of them had the understanding that there was going to be a Messiah that was going to come and liberate them from the domination of Rome. And so everything and everybody was going on in Israel. But I thank God that Simeon was waiting for the real deal. Simeon understood that there were some fake folk who said they were the Messiah. But Simeon said, no, you're not the one. You know that song, I got the right one, baby. Simeon said, no, these are not the right ones, because the fact of the matter is, you don't bring the reality that I've studied. You don't bring the essence of what I know. You don't bring the substance of who God is. I'm waiting for somebody. Somebody that's going to bring peace to my circumstance. I'm waiting for someone who's going to bring comfort to my hurting soul. I'm waiting for someone who's going to bring joy in the midst of my sadness. I'm waiting for somebody. And those devout Jews were waiting for a Messiah. And they understood that there was something that they would only understand when the Messiah showed up on the scene. And so Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. But if you look at the word, if your Bible is like mine, it is highlighted. It is capitalized. The word consolation starts with a big C. And so the word is then transformed to just a regular noun to a proper noun. That the name that I'm waiting for is the one who is called the consolation of Israel. Come on, someone called him Mary's baby. Someone called him Ezekiel's wheel within the middle of a wheel. Someone called him Jeremiah's fire that shut up in his bone. Some other folk called him the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. Somebody called him the bright and the morning star. That Simeon called him the consolation of Israel. I just call him Jesus. My bread when I'm hungry. My water when I'm thirsty. My clothes when I'm naked. My roof when I'm outside. I call him Jesus. The one who picks me up, turns me around, put my feet on solid ground. The ones that gives me deliverance. Does anybody know him for yourself? I call him Jesus. Simeon called him the consolation of Israel. I'm waiting for that one to come. And Anna on the other end, the back end, she too was waiting, but in a different kind of way. The Bible says that Anna was a woman of elderly years, and that she was going in and out of the temple with fastings and with praying. Come on, someone. For you see, it's one thing to be a young upstart in the gospel and think you know it all, but you've not been to anything. See, you have to keep on living before you go through some things. And when you've gone through a rough side of the mountain, then come talk to me. When you've gone through the valley low, then come talk to me. And when you've got to be Anna's age and you sure enough know him for yourself, then come talk to me. But Anna was still waiting. She was still waiting for somebody. She was still waiting for the real deal. She was still waiting for the one who they called the deliverer, the Messiah, to come. And in their waiting, I just want to stop there. I don't want to get to the essence, the conclusion of the matter too quickly. Because some of us are in the waiting phase. Some of us are trying to land, but the tower has told you you can't land yet. And you got to keep circling around. There's a storm in your presence. There's lightning and thunder and turbulence. And you can't land the plane yet. So what do you do while you're circling? What do you do while you're waiting? I got some lessons for you. While you're waiting, you gotta keep coming in and out of the temple. Come on, somebody. While you're waiting, you gotta learn how to keep praising him. While you're waiting, you gotta learn how to fast and get on bending knee. While you're waiting, you gotta lift up your hands and say, Lord, you're still God all by yourself. While you're anybody waiting today, anybody waiting for a breakthrough, anybody waiting for deliverance, anybody waiting for
resolution. Anybody waiting for the conclusion to the matter, I want you to keep praising, keep standing, keep singing, keep fasting, keep lifting up your hands while you're waiting. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Waiting is no easy thing. Waiting has and takes some patience. Waiting takes some long suffering. Waiting takes some endurance. Waiting takes some determination. Waiting takes some tenacity. Every time you get knocked down, you got to figure out how God's going to pick you back up again. You got to learn how to wait. And I am convinced that both Anna and Simeon gives us lessons of how to wait for the consolation, for the peace, for the comfort. Now I want you to note what each of them did when Jesus came into the scene. The Bible says that in verse number 6 and 7, that the Bible says, and in verse 26, it had been revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death until he had seen, he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christos. Christ is not his last name. Christ is his office. Christ is his title. Christ is not his last name. We are Christians not because of the last name. We are Christians because of the office that he holds. He is Jesus the Christ. He is Jesus the Anointed One. He is Jesus the Messiah. He is Jesus the Deliverer. And God said to Simeon, you're not going to die, Simeon, until I bring the Deliverer into your presence. Oh, come on, somebody. That's enough for you to shout right there. You are not going to lose your fight. You're not going to lose your battle until Jesus gets on the scene. And I'm here to tell you that when Jesus shows up on the scene, he always sets the record straight. He straightens out crooked places. He smooths over rough places. You just keep on waiting until Jesus shows up on the scene. Jesus, the Bible says that Mary, his mama, Joseph, his stepdaddy, brought Jesus, the baby, into the temple to do what was according to the law, which was to have him circumcised by Jewish custom. That could only take place in the temple. Here's my point, that if you're looking for a move of God, you've got to put yourself in places where God moves. Let me say that one more time. If you're looking for a move of God, you've got to get yourself out of this place. You got to leave that place. You got to cut off this one and get yourself in a place where God can move. You're not getting the message, are you? I'm not just talking about a building. I'm talking about you get your place in a spirit, in a spiritual place where God can step into your situation, turn your life around. Simeon found himself waiting in the temple. Because if according to the law, a Messiah according to Jewish custom was going to come, it would make sense that that Messiah would be circumcised according to the law of Moses. So if I'm on the lookout, I'm Simeon waiting in the temple, looking for when the Messiah is going to come in there. And I may not see him, but doesn't matter if I don't ever see him. I'm still going to wait for him. But in this case, God promised Simeon, you will not die until you see him. So Simeon is there waiting. And as soon as Joseph and Mary brought the baby Jesus into the temple, the Bible says the spirit that was inside of Simeon resonated with the spirit that was inside of the baby. And something happened that he knew, now mine eyes have seen the presence of the Messiah. Oh, I love this text, beloved, because it says in verse number 28, he took him up. Go back to 27. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when mom and daddy brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God. And right there, I'm not sure what happened, but something happened. I cannot determine it. I cannot delineate it. I cannot define it. But something happened. You know that song? Some things got a hold on me. I don't know what it is, but something has got a hold on me. And it won't let me go. When the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you, something came over Simeon. Simeon scooped the baby up, held Jesus up in the air, and began to thank God. And much in the same way that the late Reverend Dr. King, who had peeked over into the promised land of racial equality, said, I may not get there with you, but mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. I can almost hear Simeon say, I can go to my grave now, because I've seen Jesus for myself. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the consolation of Israel. Mine eyes have beheld his face. Simeon saw him for himself. And my challenge to you is, as you wait for Advent and Christmas to come, to get to the real meaning, put aside the wrapped presents and the gifts that you're saying Santa brought you. And in point of fact, stop lying to your children and tell them Jesus gave them the gifts. But while you're waiting, I want you to stand and wait for the consolation of Israel. And I want you to do what not just Simeon did, but do what Anna did. Anna, while she was waiting, the Bible says that she was coming in and out of the temple with fastings and with prayings. Right there, you and I need to take a lesson from Anna, because Jesus himself told us that this kind of demon is only going to come out by praying and fasting. And some of us who may not understand the spiritual power of what it means to pray and to fast, I just stopped by to tell you that I've fought some demons in my short 44 years, and I've won some battles, and I may not have yet won some other battles, but I'm here to tell you that the more I stayed on my knees and the more I fasted and prayed in the spirit, the more high power that I was able to have over the demonic realm that came into my life. And so as I take a lesson from Anna, I've learned how to stay on bended knee. Every now and again, I gotta get up to keep on walking. But as soon as I take another step, I gotta fall back down on my knees and give God the glory and praise him and magnify him and understand that I can't do it by myself, that I need some help, that I need some power, that I need some glory, and it only comes from the Father above. Amen. Anna never got tired of going in and out of the temple. Now, here's my point. This is before Jesus had even started his earthly ministry. This is before Jesus had ever healed a sick man or raised a dead man by the name of Lazarus. This is before Bartimaeus got his eyesight back. This is before Mary anointed his feet and wiped his feet with her hair and her eyes. dried her tears and dried it with her hair. This is before Peter stepped out of the boat and walked on water. This is before the Mount of Transfiguration. This is before the feeding of the 5,000. This is before the parting of the sea. This is before the fish were multiplied. You're not getting the message, are you? Before one miracle had ever happened, Anna and Simeon were praising God. You're not getting it, are you? Before you get your breakthrough, before the miracle happens, I need somebody to open up your mouth and give God some glory. Before the miracle happens, before the breakthrough happens, before the deliverance happens, they praise Him. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I'm going to praise you in the middle of it before I get out of it. And here's my last point of a lesson we take about waiting on the Lord. Anna, at the end of verse 38, tells us, or the Bible tells us, at the end of verse 38, and coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of Him to all those who looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. They were looking for different things, but they found it in the same person. Amen. Simeon looking for the consolation of Israel, the peace, the comfort. Anna looking for the redemption for Jerusalem.
Yes, yes.
Understand in the text that the prophecy of Jesus was that He was going to be for the Jews and the Gentiles.
Uh-huh.
So no matter who you are and what you're looking for, you can find it in Jesus. I don't care if you're black or white, you can find it in Jesus. I don't care if you're male or female, you can find it in Jesus. I don't care if you're rich or poor, you can find it in Jesus. I don't care if you got a degree or no degree, you can find it in Jesus. I don't care if you're tall or short, I don't care if you're this or that, you can find whatever you need in Jesus. Anna, when she saw Him, much like Simeon, praised the Lord. But here's the other thing that Anna did. Disciples praise. Evangelists go tell.
That's right, that's right, that's right.
Let me say that one more time. Disciples who are learning how to live like Jesus and for Jesus, it's one thing to be a disciple, but to be a disciple doesn't mean that I leave the church and go outside and tell somebody. To be a disciple means I come in and I learn and I'm challenged and I grow. But what do I do for others is my question. And I've convinced myself that coming to be a Christian is not just about being a disciple, but I gotta go out and be an evangelist and tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Anna was an evangelist. The Bible says she thanked God. But what does it say at the end of verse number 38? The Bible says she went out and she began to speak of Him to everybody who was looking for something. Come on, somebody. I need you to go out and do like the songwriter said. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is not only born, but that He is arrived. The package is in the mail. He's on His way. And I don't know about you, but I can't help myself sometimes. I get just a little bit excited about this season. Because if there was no birth, there would be no crucifixion. If there was no crucifixion, there would be no resurrection. If there was no resurrection, there would be no redemption. If there was no redemption, there would be no salvation. If there was no salvation, there would be no perfection. If there was no perfection, I would not stand before my God and hear him say, well done,
yes, God,
my good and faithful servant. I leave us with this, beloved of God, that you need to get excited about the birth of Jesus and tell someone that he is coming and that he has already arrived, but that he's coming back again. See, there's the first advent, the baby, but there's a second advent. When he comes in the fullness of his glory. And I want to be there for that advent. In the blessed name of Jesus. So I need someone to wait on the Lord while he's working it out. Be like Simeon and Anna. Give him some praise. Give him some glory. Give him some honor. And stand on the promises of God. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. Give God a praise offering in this place. Thank you, Father. Everyone standing to their feet. Everyone standing to their feet. Deacons and deaconesses and clergy, I need you to go out and help me extend this invitation. I'm here to tell someone that the Lord is waiting for you to wait on him. I don't know who you are today and what your need is and what you're looking for. But if you're looking for something, I believe you can find it in Jesus. Before the choir sings, I want to offer two things to someone. One is that you would come and unite with us to join this church. If you don't have a church home, no church is perfect. But I can tell you this, this church loves God, loves his word, and we're doing our best to love God's people. And so if you're looking for a church, I invite you to come. Maybe you've been visiting here or other places, but maybe today was the day the Lord touched you and said, come on down. Give the preacher your hand and give God your heart. But more importantly than membership is relationship. If you want to know truly for yourself the God of creation, you've got to know him through his son, Jesus. But think about the gift. That's how he made you to get to know him personally. By sending Jesus. By coming down from heaven to earth. I thank God that we've got a God who just didn't sit up there and tell us he loved us. But he came down. And he showed us how much he loved us. And so today I want to offer that God to you. Whomever you are. Because that God loves you so much. And he wants the very best for you and your family. But you can only do that by surrendering and submitting to him. Why don't you give us, come forward and come to know that Jesus for yourself. Go ahead and sing choir. And as they do, these invitations are extended to somebody. Sing the song, Deborah.